Hey, great to have you here. And I've been looking forward to speaking a bit tonight. Got a few things to go through. I'm going to make it a little bit interactive, okay? So does anybody not have a mobile phone? You better not have one, Elise. Oh, here come the kids back in. Sorry about that. Anyone not have one who's above 12 or something? Excellent. Well, we're going to use that tonight, so get ready for your notes program on the phone and things. I wanted to start with a bit of a survey, just a bit of market research. So can everyone just put their hands up in the air? Everyone's got to do it? Okay. So you're going to put your hand down or keep it up, depending on what I ask, okay? So you're going to do this truthfully, because there's a bit of research here. So here, who here owns a watch? If you do, put your hand down. And if you don't own a watch, keep it up. Right. The kids, you don't know. Do you own a watch, do you, mate? So, are you used to? Well, there we go. Put your hand up, Sam. That's it. Well, if you've lost it, you can put it up. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So, now I want to know who. Keep your hand up if you. So, it's obviously everyone's got their hand up, doesn't have own a watch, or doesn't use one, or has lost it, or something like that, or would like a watch. Who here is an Apple fanboy? And so, if you're not an Apple fan, if you hate Apple products, put your hand down. In the middle? No, you're either in or you're out, mate. Okay. Now, I want to know who here really can't afford a new iPhone when they come out in September, the iPhone 7. But it's the same thing. Like, you've got to answer the loud. Who's got the hand still left up? Justin? Zaki? You got your hand up? There's hardly any. No one's got their hand up still? Cool. And now I want to know, who's got a medium-sized wrist with those who've got their hand up? Who's got a, or, you know, if it's a choice, but who's got a, if you've got a large wrist, put your hand down. Really large wrist. No female's going to admit to that. Sorry. So really the only one left apart from, sorry kids, is Zaki, which is a really good thing because I did want to give him something tonight, which is one of these, Zach. It's an Apple Watch, actually. And it's a real one. I happen to have my pocket, so come up the front, mate. Now, I had a quick look on Apple's website. It's still pretty worth a bit. They might bring out a new one. But over $1,000. That, my friend, is an Apple Watch. Yes. So he had to have an iPhone, you see, to sync it. And he was too broke to get a... I know that because he works for me and I don't pay him enough. he's too broke to get a new iPhone, but it'll sync with the old one. And I do have the charger. Hang on. Here. So, sorry, I don't have the other bit of it, but anyway, that's what I got. That's okay. That's the expensive bit of it. Now, you're just probably thinking, what the heck? You've just given away a $1,000 watch, right? It is. I think $1,029. Had a quick look on the Apple Store. Well, let me tell you, it's true, it works. It'll need to be reset. I'll have to talk to you about that. I've still got all my data on there. You're probably thinking, isn't that a pretty out there, generous thing to give away? Well, actually, it's not, and I'm going to tell you why, because I like a bit of new technology, and I can get a bit scammed into getting things, but I wore it, and then I just stopped wearing it, and I didn't care, and it's been sitting beside my bed in a drawer there, gathering dust, for how long, Mel? About 9 months. Yeah, Mel told me not to get it. But you see, even though it's worth a fair bit, it's $1,000, it's actually, you're going to put it on eBay now, aren't you? But seriously, genuinely, you can have it. It's not me being particularly generous. But tonight we're going to have a look at Jesus, who was incredibly generous, who gave in a really, really generous way. I had no use for that thing. I mean, seriously, it'd sit there for another 9 months until the battery acid breaks through and melts, you know, well, years in time, and it becomes nothing, you know. And they'll bring out another one anyway, which hopefully I won't get scammed into buying because I'm really not an Apple Watch fan, so I found out. So good on you, Zach. I was hoping you'd get that tonight. That's not real generosity. You know, real generosity in our family would be if I gave away Mel's Thermomix. Now, that would be a serious act of generosity. Anyone who's got a Thermomix knows what I'm talking about. Maybe if Steve gave away his farm, that'd be, you know, we'd know you're being generous, mate, if you did that. Absolutely. Hey. So we're going to take a good look at Jesus and take inspiration from his generosity. And hope that little thing of a giving away a $1,000 watch will help you remember some of the key points tonight. I can't afford to do it again, so you better remember. Hey, we want to follow Jesus as a church, don't we? It's one of the key things that we've got in our like a little slogans of things we want to do, and we want to be authentic community, and we want to follow Jesus. Jesus gave in the book of Mark a really incredible commandment that a lot of us know. And he said, the most important commandment, and this was profound for the time then, it's still profound for us now, the most important commandment is to, and this is sort of paraphrased, but effectively love God and love people, or love your neighbour as you love yourself. One of the ways we show love to God and we demonstrate love to people is through being generous, isn't it? It's done in all sorts of different ways. And in the book of Mark, I was really struck by how generous Jesus was and how much he taught on generosity. We're just coming to the end of the book and the climax, of course, of the most generous thing that's ever happened in the world, which is, of course, Jesus's giving up of his own life. But I want to go through some of the key things on his generosity. You know, Jesus, they tell me that he was about 33 when he died, or around that age of 30, and had 3 years of ministry, where is what we read about in the Gospels, effectively. And so if you think of everything Jesus said and everything he did and how he changed all of human history, whether you're a Christian or not, you'd look back to Jesus' time and you'd go, those 3 years that are documented would have to be some of the most busy, purposeful, incredible 3 years that a human has ever done. And of course, we know he's God as well, but it's incredible 3 years. You know, when you think about in this context, Jesus was really, really time poor. I mean, he had a serious mission to fulfill. He had lots and lots to do and lots to achieve. And if I think back, think of our own lives, what do we achieve in 3 years? Like, you can't even do a uni degree pretty much in 3 years, can you? Well, I couldn't, I failed a subject, but aren't they all 4 now or something? You know, like, 3 years is as nothing. It took me 3 years before I earned any money in building my business. You know, they always say you got to lose money for 3 years before you make it in business, and it took me every bit of that. So 3 years just to build a little wedding venue, and I was working pretty hard. Jesus changed the world in 3 years. Like, he was busy. Think of things that have happened in the last 3 years of your life. We all say we're busy, but compared to Jesus, man, he had a lot to achieve. In Mark chapter 1, we get the first glimpse of just how busy Jesus' life was, how full his time was. It talks about him after sunset one evening, meeting with hundreds of people and healing the sick and talking to them and ministering to them, and then getting up. So that must have gone late into the night. I mean, you just don't have contact with hundreds of people in 20 minutes. And then early the next morning, it says before dawn, so before the sun gets up, he disappeared and went out to pray. And then he went at it again for another whole day. And almost without giving up, the disciples had to come and find him. It's almost as if they'd slept in. And I mean, it doesn't say that, but that's the sort of impression you get. He just kept going and going, late night, early morning. This was these 3 years. And wherever he went, news of Jesus spread, so huge crowds would follow him. It even says that it got to a point where Jesus couldn't go into a town, and this is before obviously social media or TV or any sort of modern communication. He couldn't even turn up into a town without the locals absolutely swamping him. He couldn't turn up into a town openly, it says. Even when he was in a desert, people still came out to see him from all over the nation. When Jesus withdrew to an ocean side, this is how incredibly stretched he would have been as a human person, and just the pressure on him. When he was went to the side of an ocean, it was so full on, his disciples were concerned about them getting crushed at the edge of the ocean. And so they went and hired a boat, and that's where he preached from. I mean, you know, even in our context today of large crowds and stadiums, I mean, that's pretty, pretty unbelievable. Yet in the midst of all of that, Jesus still had time for individuals and had time for people in an incredible way. He would often pause to talk to somebody. Actually, in some of the other Gospels outside of Mark, there's even more compelling accounts of this. But we read individual stories of individuals who Jesus had time for. I guess it's a challenge for us. I mean, I'd consider myself a pretty busy person. Get up to stuff, keep going. Don't I, Mel, normally. yet here's Jesus as an example, and yet he made time for people. And how often do I make time for people? Well, not all the time. I guess the challenge for all of us, do we stop in our busy schedule? Are we generous with our time? Do we pause to listen to people? To help. If people in trouble, are we moved with pity? And it says in Mark on several occasions, I think 4 or 5 times, that Jesus was moved with pity or compassion for people. In the midst of that busyness, dawn to dusk, or dawn to late at night, every day, he's moved with pity and compassion to help others. I guess, are we generous with our time? And the question is, how much time do we give to others? I always reflect, Mel, for those who don't know, we have 5 kids, and even if you have 1 kid, I mean, it's just a busy thing. And so as a mum, you actually get to live out this in sort of following Jesus in not a whole lot of time for yourself. I think you'd say, hey, Mel, I mean, I just see Mel, she's up before the kids get up and getting things ready, and even when they go to bed, she's making the kids lunch for the next day, like seriously busy and giving of time to others. I think every mother here is like that, gives so much to the kids. For the rest of us, we're given different ways, but sometimes our week is so full of things for us and not for others. Just think about it. I mean, think of that command of Jesus, which is love God and love people as you love yourself, or love your neighbour as you love yourself. A good way to show that is, how much time do we spend, on things that we love? Like, for some of you, it might be watching movies or playing games or hanging out, or Owen would be playing board games. Oh, he's not here. I can pick on him. For me, it was taking the jet ski out briefly yesterday. But how much of that time, if we added up all the time we spend for ourselves in comparison to what we do for others, how would our week look? You look at Jesus' life, and it was like 110% for others. He was incredibly generous with his time. Just a quick aside, one thing I've noticed reading Mark in that too is Jesus retreated to pray. One of the things we're really passionate about in our small church is encouraging ourselves and all of us into spending time with Jesus every day in prayer and reading his word. Jesus did it, the most busy person that's ever lived over those 3 years, and yet he still took time out to do that, and that's a sustaining thing. So are we generous with our time is the first point. And then secondly, are we generous with our status in life? This one sounds a bit unusual, but are we willing to give up our status? Are we willing to serve others? I just want to read a quick story from Mark. This is Mark chapter 9, verse 33 to 37. We would have read a couple of weeks ago. And as they came to Capernaum, And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? So he asked the disciples what they were talking about. But they kept silent, for on the way they argued with one another about which disciple was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. So there were the disciples discussing who'd be greatest, and Jesus said, hey, the greatest is those who serves others. So another challenge for us, not only are we generous in time, but are we generous actually in serving people and doing things for people? Regardless of whether we get paid in return, regardless if we get anything in return, are we actually generous in our status? I'll tell you, I employ a few staff, and she won't mind me speaking of this, but I've got a manager, her name's Deanne. A lot of you, some of you guys here in the room work for her. And you guys won't know this, but when she first started working with me, she did a trial. And she actually came and worked at Gumbar Homestead in a trial. And she was going to be the manager and the key employee and a wedding planner, and it was a pretty cool job. But during the night, I lost track with her. I couldn't find where she was. And she was in at the dish room doing the, you know, Zach knows what the dish room's like because he lives there. But it's, you know, it's one of the toughest, that's why he needs an Apple Watch. Sorry. Don't wear that in the sink, mate. You'll wreck it. They're not waterproof. but, you know, there was Deanne working in one of the toughest jobs, and she was prepared to be a servant of others. I've seen other people that I employ who like to go to the, you know, the great job straight away, and they like to lead, or they like to tell other people what to do, but they're not prepared to get in and do it themselves. Yet Jesus was saying, hey, to the disciples, don't argue who's the greatest, just get in and serve others. So are we generous with our status in life? Are we willing to serve others? Here's one. Are we generous with our possessions, things that we own? I'm just going to read some more of Mark. And as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Don't steal. Do not bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your mother and your father. And he said to him, teacher, I've done all these things and I've kept them from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And disheartened by the saying, he went away, sorrowful, for he was a rich man with great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it'll be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It's pretty challenging words. And let me tell you, every single person in this room, relatively in the world, is rich. I've had the privilege and the challenge of traveling to some of the poorest parts of the world. And let me tell you, every single one here, even if you're a bit tight in finances and things, let me tell you, you're relatively rich. Among the richest people that have ever lived with the most possessions in the world that have ever lived. And so we're all in this boat to some extent. Sometimes I think it's why it's so hard for us to understand God, to relate to Jesus and to be passionate for him, because it's a challenge we actually all have. You know, seriously, it's a good thing for us to be really open-handed with our possessions, to try giving things away, be the first to share a meal. I love that we do that in our small church. I know it's a bit of a challenge for some of us to share a meal or put it on for you know, the 15 to 20 people we get in our small churches. But it's really good to be generous with our possessions. I love it when I hear stories in our church where people have cooked for people who are doing it a bit tough, or do generous things, or give their possessions, or give freely in that regard. And, you know, it's not just giving to people who are always struggling with things. I mean, it's easy to give to that, and we should, absolutely. But I've got something here I want to show you. This mat, if you can all see it, I'll hold up. This mat here, it's not going to win any sort of fashion awards, I'm sorry. It's pretty crazy colours, sort of pink and whatever. But this was given to me, actually, last year, myself and Elise. Remember Elise? Yeah. And we're in Ethiopia. No, we weren't. Uganda it was. We're in Uganda in Africa. And a lovely old grandma gave us this mat. And our little family sponsors one of her grandsons. Her daughter and son-in-law died of AIDS. And she was raising the family. This grandmother was a lovely, strong Christian lady, but really had very little. She was, for whatever circumstance, there was another son of hers who had been killed in some sort of fight or something. It was a very tragic situation. I think by memory she had five children. Only one of the children remained, and she was raising about 21 grandchildren on her own. And she was about this tall, really sort of hunched over from hard work. She ran her own vegetable garden, and she was able, it was quite a large vegetable garden in comparison to maybe some others that I'd seen. In a very simple house, her and a lovely blind husband looked after all these people, and we sponsored one of their children. And so we went into their home, and they were incredibly generous to us. They cooked a meal for us. They gave us funny little nuts to eat, which, well, I think they were nuts. I'm not sure what they were. And then at the end, because we were through a translator asking about their lives and how we could help and things like that. And then at the end, she gave us this gift, which you imagine this dear old grandmother who personally made this. And while it may not be the most glamorous fashion statement, it's a pretty special thing for us to have in our house. That's generosity, giving of a possession. So can I just encourage all of us in this, especially week and weeks going forward, a month as we look at generosity, what can we give to others who are in need? How can we look out for people and be giving of the possessions we own? Hey, and the final one is, are we generous with money? I want to read again from Mark. And so Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and yet a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. She's put in everything she had, all she had to live on. It's a bit like that map for us, to be honest. You know, when people give out of poverty, it's an incredible thing, but it's a real act of worship to God to be able to give to others and to be able to give to him. So what I want to do, Zach, have you got that little, yeah, there it is. Just pull out your iPhones, or if you have one of those Android things. Open Notes, or whatever you call it. And here's four questions. We're not going to embarrass you by getting you to read these out. These are personal. It's not a test or anything like that. But just in reflection, could you just go through that list and jot down there, I'm taking a little time to type that, but jot down there, over the last week, have you been generous with time? Have you been generous with your status by serving others? Have you been generous with your possessions? Have you been generous with money? Think of specific things over the last week, if you've been able to do that. It's all right if you haven't, it's just a good little thing to do. I'll just pause while we consider that. You know, the average Australian only gives $130 a year. That's the average Australian. We're not actually particularly generous with our money. There's a lot of opportunity to be generous. Hey, and so while you're considering that, I want you to consider just to the week going forward too. So that was like reflecting in the week just gone. But just in your own heart and mind, how before God can you be generous with time? You think of something or a circumstance, can you serve others this week? Will you have an opportunity to? Relatively, by world standards, we all have more things than we need. We need to give something away. Hey, you know, Christianity, we've got some pretty challenging things there. We talk a lot about some of the challenges we have to give and why, and goes to the heart. But I just want to say Christianity is not about a set of rules. Sometimes it can look like that, like when we say, well, you've got to give, you've got to do this. Sometimes it's easier, even whether you're a Christian or not, it's actually easier to talk about behavior sometimes than it is about things of the heart, because that's what we notice. I can't see your heart, I can just see the fruit of it, what you do. And so we talk about behavior a bit, but that's not the emphasis of where we want to be as Just Church. The thing we really care about is that you believe in Jesus. And then we know that if Jesus is in your life, behavior changes. So we talk about if you're not a Christian, belonging is part of our community, and then together we'll believe, and then things like behavior or how you live out things, that all comes down the track. We don't want to be a church that's based on rules. We want to be a church that points to Jesus, and he'll convict us and change our hearts. Generosity is a behavior that actually comes from knowing Jesus. It's like any other behavior. When it comes to generosity and giving, we aren't really good at doing this on our own. This is why we need Jesus. You know, I'm not very good at all these things, so I need Jesus' help. The more we know him, the more we become like him. And we have such an example to follow. Tonight we've spoken of lots of ways that Jesus either taught on giving or demonstrated through his life in Mark. And can I encourage you, if you haven't been reading along in the reading plan, do a catch up on Mark. It's a great book to skim read, actually. It's amazing stories of just incredible generosity, and a lot more, of course. But at the end of Mark, as the end of every gospel, it ends with Jesus giving away his actual life. Now, giving away these things is pretty hard at times, but giving away your life. And that's why in John, Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, than that he should lay his life down for his friends. And it's an incredible thought, hey, isn't it, that Jesus has laid his life down for us. It's just the most incredibly generous thing that's happened in this world. Jesus has laid his life down for us. He was killed on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, even including the sin of lack of generosity. You know, before God, if we're not doing things like this and doing a whole lot of other things, we fall short, obviously, of God's perfection. And I love that he enables us to be able to get there. He's shown what it really is like to love God and love people. So the most generous man that's ever lived has offered to each of us total forgiveness when we're not generous, for all of our sins, not just lack of generosity, of course, and then reconciliation with God. It's such an extraordinary act of generosity for all of us. And as I've been reading Mark, I've been really impacted by this. So for those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Saviour, know the entire reason that 2,000 years later, I mean, it's incredible, isn't it, this act of generosity from Jesus, 2,000 years later, that's the reason we're meeting here. It's because of his generosity in our lives. For anyone who has not accepted Jesus as their Saviour, it's such an open invitation to do so. And I know many of us have. And I hope your response to Jesus is generosity. You know, when somebody gives you something, I'm glad Zach said thanks. It's a $1,000 watch. It's awesome. But Jesus has given his life. And, you know, the least we can do is say thanks and accept him. I hope actually all of our response to Jesus' generosity is do the same. Even tonight, those of us who have thanked Jesus for his generosity, for his sacrifice, it's one of, look, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And to those who haven't, I so encourage you to join with us in responding to Jesus' generosity. I'm going to pray in a minute, and I'm going to pray a prayer where we do that. And just encourage you, if you've never prayed a prayer of wanting Jesus into your life and accepting him, do that with me. It'd be really great. And we'll just do that in your own minds as I pray this out loud. But yeah, just shut your eyes and bow your heads and we'll go through it. Lord Jesus, thank you for your generosity in laying down your life for us. Thank you that we're your friends. We recognize that we need you for the forgiveness of our sins, for our lack of faith, our lack of generosity, our doubts, our fears, and so much more. We repent of these things and for living selfish lives that have separated us from you. Jesus, come into our life. We accept you as our Saviour and thank you for your offer of a new life in you. Thank you so much that you forgive our sins and have taken away the guilt of those sins. Thank you, Jesus, that in you we can now live a life of complete generosity. Thank you that because of you, we can actually do what you commanded us to, which is to love God and love people. Continue to help us in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.